The format for this 55-minute session is as follows. I will share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by questions or open sharing. Again, the topic for this session is Ebony in OA. I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on the topic. Hi, again, my name is Susan, and I am a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to the committee for asking me to lead this session. I came into the rooms, I can't believe, it was 5 years ago, right at the end of December, and how quickly that time has gone. I currently have 2.5 years of abstinence from recreational sugar. That was the original. And then a while ago, about a year ago, I added in bread. And about 5 months ago, I added in tortilla chips. So things just keep popping up that my body just does not know how to deal with in a rational, sane manner. And that's okay. Because I know that the road, they say the road narrows, and so my food narrows. But there is, I heard somebody else say, who's been in the rooms a lot longer, said, you know what? There's nothing out there that she hadn't already tasted, and nothing tastes better than abstinence. So when I came in, I always thought, you know, as a child that, you know, I was fat, because what was fat was up here. And when I actually looked at pictures of me about 8 or 9 years old, I was on the thin side. You know, my teenager blew up a little bit, but the reason I'm here is not so much for the actual loss and gain of a lot of pounds, but it was because I have an unnatural relationship with food. I want to use food to commiserate. I want to use food to celebrate. I do not want to use food just to nourish my body so I can be a channel for God. That's not why I came in. I came in after one more binge, and it was the last one. And I'm grateful for a sponsor in another program when I was crying to her. She does not share this disease. And I was complaining, and I was crying. And so she said, you need to go to an OA meeting. And she said, I don't know anything about that, but I do know that that's where you need to go. And I said, well, because this is my best thinking. I said, well, you know, I go to, you know, my other meeting. I also go to open AA meetings. And if I can't find an OA meeting, then I'll go to an AA meeting. She says, no, you need to go where your blanket's on fire, where your butt's on fire. So her direction was, call 3 people, find the meeting, and call me back. So even that, you know, and that was a God shot. That was a gift. Because she could have said, well, I don't know anything about your eating disorder, so let's talk about your managing, controlling, and manipulating of people, places, and things. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. The other spiritual experience that I had around OA was that all in this same time period was that I was crossing a major street and I was full out in tears because there had been one more binge. And I wasn't in OA, so I called my sponsor, wasn't available that day. I called some fellows. I couldn't get anybody. I ended up calling a fellow in my other program that I didn't know that well. It wasn't one of my buddies. And I'm in full-out hysteria. And she said, huh, congratulations. And I said, congratulations. You don't understand. And she didn't. And she said, but what she was being that channel for God, she said, you've been touched by the hand of God today. You know, he's brought you to a new level of understanding. Wow. And I hope I never forget those words, because that's important. It's important that I always bring the God of my understanding, which changes over time, into my life and into all of my affairs. And as my recovery lengthens and my abstinence, you know, I can one day at a time, I get a daily reprieve of my abstinence and the foods that are not good for my body, I always have to remember that it's only because it's by the grace of God. Whether I'm on a certain body weight, whether I got a poochy stomach, whether I got whatever, you know, I get, by the grace of God, one more breath. And that's what's important, because the rest of it won't matter if I'm not here. You know, and I've had some, you know, I've had some length of time in my life where the self-will worked. You know, I had years where I thought the body was good, the number was good. But after a while, I still couldn't hold on to it because it was me changing my food, but it wasn't changing my attitudes and it wasn't changing my actions. And that's what has to change, is my attitudes and my actions, and how I can, and I have to believe that there's a power. Not only believe, but trust that there's a power greater than myself. Because it was Susan running the Susan show all the time. And that didn't work. And, you know, when I came in, my two experiences I shared was when I came in December of 14. Prior to that, maybe 4 or 5 years before that, I had come into the rooms. I tried. I went to a meeting and I looked around and said, oh, nobody looks like me. And it had nothing to do with the outside. It had everything to do with, or it had everything to do with the outside. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it had to do with the inside. It had everything to do with the outside. There was dramatic weight gains and loss. People were of all shapes and sizes. They were doing all kinds of things with food that I didn't do. And I said, took my newcomer packet, said thank you, and walked out the door. I wasn't ready. I could not hear the message. When I was ready in 2014, when I sat myself in the chair, I knew I was home. And it didn't matter what your story was. I knew that I connected with you like you connected with me at a level that had nothing to do with our outsides. I learned in these rooms that what connects us is our insides. And I don't know if somebody's on there, and I get to let go of my judgment of whether somebody's on the up or the down, because I don't know. You know, they might have, you know, I walked around thinking, oh, they're so skinny, but I don't know. Maybe that's, they have to fight really hard every day to hold on to that, and vice versa. I don't know, because someone is, you know, over to me, looks overweight. I don't know where they've come from. The main thing I do know is that for today, we're in these rooms together. You know, and it's not about what we eat or what we don't eat. It's not about what we've done or what we didn't do, because we've all done some stuff that we'd rather not admit to. It's, you know, that's part of our disease. And that we have a disease. We have an allergy of the body, and an obsession of the mind, and a malady of the spirit. The allergy of the body is the easiest thing for me. And I could, you know, I could do that with self-will. Okay, one more diet, one more counting calories, one more seeking the guru of food, whatever. I could do. Because, you know, as I've heard, I knew how to diet. It wasn't a lack of knowledge of dieting. But I couldn't maintain it. And I'd always say, I didn't mind the diet. It was like maintaining it. Because then I had to put, that's the real work. Because you've got a scale, you've got a plan, you got the whatever. You know, I can do that. I can follow directions. It was like when I had to come up with some way to maintain that was what I could not do. Because I didn't have a power greater than myself that I would invite into my life. Because that's where the maintenance is. The maintenance is me maintaining a connection. It's me being a channel for God. It's not me being a channel for you. It's not me being a channel for me. It's about me being a channel for God that loves each of us with all his heart and unconditionally. You know, I learned in these rooms to, part of the reason I've changed the relationship with my daughter is because I can accept her today as she is. And I can do that because I'm learning. I haven't learned completely. I'm learning to accept me as I am. You know, I always, you know, even in the rooms, there was, you know, I had a poochy stomach. Thought I had a poochy stomach. And I thought, oh, well, it's not right. It's not good enough. And just recently, within the last month or so, I'm able to finally see this, I think, to me, it's crazy. It's like, I'm like 5'3". I was 5'2¾" for years. I don't know, about 10 years ago or less, they started measuring me. I'm 5'3". I grew a quarter of an inch. I'm like, no, you're wrong. And I wanted to make the scale wrong, but after I did it on three different scales in three different doctor's offices, I said, well, I guess I'm 5'3". So I grew a quarter of an inch. And I finally realized that I'm a small, petite woman. All my life, whatever the height number was, I always thought myself, I thought of myself as a bigger-than-life person. And I always thought, no matter what that number said, it wasn't good enough that I was heavy and I was fat and blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. It was all idle chatter, at which kept me from being in connection with not only God, but with you guys. Because when I'm talking up here and judging about what's going on out there, I'm not being in connection. And it's the connection that keeps me sane. It's the connection that keeps me on a path that allows me to be of service. And so today I know that doesn't matter. I was in the meeting right before this, in which is a Spanish speakers meeting, and I do speak Spanish. And I looked around, and I looked around that circle, just like we can look around, you know, we are our group here. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the language. It doesn't matter how we got here. What matters is that we stay here, and we stay here together. You know, if you guys don't come, then there's no meeting. And then I'm sitting in a room all by myself, left to my best device. You know? My struggle has always been with dinner, because there was a long period of time that I wouldn't eat all day. That was my best thinking. I wouldn't eat all day, because if I ate, then I was going to eat all day. So I wouldn't eat until 5 o'clock or dinner, and then there'd be less time to eat. Well, we know that. I can do a lot of damage in a very short amount of time. And my first sponsor suggested that I go to 3 meals a day. And when I went to 3 meals a day and a snack, within 4 months, not paying any attention to it, I dropped like 10 pounds. And I didn't know it until I went back to the same doctor. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You dropped 10 pounds. And that was strictly because I believe my body knew it was going to get fed. When I don't feed my body, it holds on to things that it doesn't need to hold on to. When I don't feed my spirit, then my disease gets fed, and then it wants to run havoc with me. You know, when I don't feed my spirit, my obsession takes over. You know, I remember, so like about 2 years ago, I was going to an OA retreat, and it was the second year going. And what I was thinking about, I wasn't thinking about the people I was going to connect to. I wasn't thinking about, wonder who the speaker's going to be, who the topic is, you know, good program stuff. I'm thinking about what's in the buffet line. I wonder if they're going to have what they had last year. But the difference was that time, and I'm on the 405 driving toward the valley, and I started to laugh at myself. This program has given me back laughter and joy. I can laugh at myself today. Because how ridiculous is that? The food has never brought me happiness. Not really, truly, in the moment. But you guys have. And being able to be open and honest and vulnerable with you guys is one of the things that has changed my life. I can be intimate. I can be vulnerable. I can be ashamed. I can feel guilt. I can make a mistake. And it's still going to be okay. Because we share something that is more basic and fundamental than anything else that I can do. Trying to think. I've worked the steps. I have a sponsor. I have a sponsee. You know, and sponsoring, I believe sponsoring is a gift. Sponsees are a gift. They keep me in the middle of the herd, because as I share my experience, strength, and hope, and we try not to share advice, but every now and then I have to be honest. And this one particular day, I was sharing with my sponsee. She had gone to the store. They didn't, something that she was going to eat. It had changed the ingredients. She didn't realize, but she said, "Oh, well, I'm going to have it." It had sugar in it. And I wanted to say that particular day, God spoke through me to me, because that afternoon I had a similar experience. I hadn't planned. I didn't take my lunch with me. Thought I'd be home. And I went to the store. I said, "Well, I don't want to go home because I need to shop over here, blah, blah." And so I ended up going to a convenience store, and I was going to get coffee, and I looked at all the selections, and there was too much this and not enough of that, and I don't do processed, you know, I got the road is narrowing here. And I turned back. I said, "Well, they had a single size of hummus and stuff that I could have." Turned back, got my coffee, and when I turned back, right next door to that was 2 hard-boiled eggs. Perfect for me. I had the hard-boiled eggs. And so that was, you know, God talking to me about, so what's your backup plan? You know, what kind of stuff can you have in the car that's transportable anyplace? So as I'm talking to her about having an emergency plan, you know, God spoke to me. And that's the miracle of the program. So I think that's all I've got. Thank you for letting me be of service. The topic for the session is Ebony and OA. The meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. This session will end at 4:55. And please remember that this meeting is being recorded. And if you share, please come up and sign the release form. Who'd like to start? And please use the mic because it is being recorded. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm signing, but I definitely okay. want to do it. I don't want to waste time.
That's a good idea. Okay. Do you share, and then before, as you go to sit down, you can sign.
I will. Hi, everybody. I'm Pamela, a grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous. Hi, everybody here from Detroit. Can I sit? I don't want to stand. Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here, and it's been a couple of years since I've been to a couple of years since I've been here, and I wanted to share a little bit about, I messed around and left my notes. Well, I think I can remember what it is. So anyways, been around the program on many of Sundays, 14 years in program. 2018, I came back into recovery from a relapse. I was in relapse close to 2 years, and it was directly related to the outcome of the last election, presidential election. And at that time, I had a sponsor who happened to be white, and I told myself that I couldn't be honest in sharing what I felt about that the outcome, and I didn't. And subsequently, I picked up the food. I did eventually talk to someone about it, and they kind of got my thought process on the right track, because after all, it is about me. It's not so much about, you know, who's in charge of this country today, but it's about my process and how I think about things, because it does say in the book, after all, I'm self-centered. So I had to get past that, and I'm very grateful for that. I've had a couple of experiences as a woman of color in the program. Currently, I do have a sponsor again. She happens to be white. And she said something to me, and we were talking about, you know, issues related to me as a woman of color. And she said, well, you know, I don't see color. And I said, I heard, And I said, whoa, hold up a minute. Let me explain something to you. I said, every day I look in the mirror, I see color. And I need you to acknowledge that, because my experiences are related to, oftentimes, the color of my skin. So you won't have those same experiences. But I ask you to just be open to that. And she was I wouldn't say she was offended, but she cried. You know, because she didn't know that she had offended me. And she said, I wasn't trying to offend you. And I said, I really believe that. I believe there was no malice intended. But I needed to let you know. You know, it's like people coming up to me and saying, hey, can I touch your hair? No, you cannot touch my hair. So there are certain things, you know, as, like I said, a woman of color, that I have to, if I do happen to have a sponsor or a sponsee who happens to be of a different nationality, I have to be able to be honest today. And so that sponsor that I couldn't be honest with, I was able to see her at her last convention and gave her a hug and also did an apology as to why I left. And she was very understanding. So thank you all for letting me share. And
hi, I'm Hudson L. from Missouri, a compulsive overeater. What's been on my heart, what got me to come to this big book, not book, book. I'll go there, though. OA birthday party. So about less than 2 years ago, I discovered the big book through, I know a lot of you have heard of the A Vision for You line. and it took me to weight loss and did give me some knowledge of the step work. But talk about being fully honest, I have struggled deeply with the roots of the Big Book and the language of the Big Book, and it has thrown me off course. That struggle is partially why I feel like I'm in relapse now. It feels contradictory to who I am as an African American, just because of the way it's written, the way it, the time in which it was written, and the people it leaves out because of that. And so I've been having a really, really hard time finding the juice in the book and living there. And so I feel like I've lost my way. I've struggled with it from the beginning, and the less I'm out of the loop of step work, the more, I struggle with it. And I don't know if, and I believe also the, it was not only written, of course, at that time, and I understand that, for mostly white men, it was also, so it omitted women, it omitted, of course, people of color, and in many ways it omitted people from impoverished backgrounds, and it just has been so hard for me to find my way to sit in that work authentically. And so that's what's brought me here, just trying to figure that out and get myself reestablished and rooted in my OA program. The traditional literature or traditional meetings never got me anywhere. So I feel grateful for the A Vision for You line and where it got me. But then I just got all, I don't know, in my head about the source. So that's what I wanted to talk about.
Hello. Hey, I'm Phil. I'm a compulsive overeater from New York City representing. I just wanted to say thank you so much for doing that. Seriously, it's great stuff. I love that you say you're touched by God today and bringing you understanding and accept, and also the part where we get to accept ourselves for who we are. So important. The thing that I'm always doing, just to be, I always seek people out of color at meetings because we're rare, you know, we're 1%, right? 1% in the thing. And then if you're a man, then they're, men are 13%. So imagine being 1% of 13%. It's really serious. But I'm always thinking of ways that we could reach out to other people. I'm involved at helping out at the Harlem meeting over there in New York. We make sure that we get the OA Black Voices, that pamphlet, and get that thing. So make sure everybody has it and reads it and passes it on to other people. And showing up and doing service, like when we would do a Black Veg Fest, and we would go there and do service over there, bringing the word of OA over there and bringing pamphlets and stuff like that. And I tell you, people would look at all the other things, and then when it comes to OA, they would look away. They would, like, you know, people would seriously avoid eye contact with me and avoid eye contact with anybody from OA because they're afraid. I mean, it's real fear, the fear that I'm seeing here. And it's like people are like, I'm very curious. I always ask people, like, what's keeping them from OA? You know what I mean? Because there's so many people, and why aren't we in there? And it's a lot of people are like, they're still down with the food. They're down with the things, the sugars or the fats or the meats or the situation. But I had my aunt. She just got amputated both legs for diabetes. The disease is real. I've had friends that go blind. Like I was saying, the other meeting, seriously, this disease is real, and it's killing lots of people, especially people of color. So I'm just saying, just got to tell a friend, reach out, and build that community, because it's all about the community. Enough said.
Thank you. My name is Asia. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic. And I'm just so grateful for OA, because that was the first place I ever got to really talk about what I do with food. I had people in my family who obviously have my same sorts of behaviors around food, eating too much, eating things that are making them sick, that are hurting them, destroying their bodies. But when it came to talking about bulimia, that was just something that was just unthinkable to say. So being able to say that, it was the first time I was able to say that was in these rooms. And this is my first share of the weekend, and mainly because I definitely wanted to listen, but also because I was usually the only Black girl in the room, and I don't know how much of people can relate, and I just am triggered by anything I could receive as being judgment. That really makes me turn into myself and self-harm with food in particular. And this is my first share ever talking about my brother. My brother was murdered when he was 18 years old. He was in a gang, and I never share about that in meetings because I know what those people think. I don't know, but that's what I tell myself. I know what they think. And, you know, without spaces where I can look into an audience and see a crowd of people that look like me, I don't even have the benefit of doubt that maybe somebody in the room does know what I'm talking about. So that's what it means for me to be Black in OA and be in a room with other Black people in OA. I feel like I have that space to say out loud, you know, these are what my experiences are. And I have faith that somebody in the room might know what that's like. So I'm just really grateful that you all are here. I don't know what it took for you guys to get here. I don't know what it's going to be like for you after today. But I just want you to keep coming back, because you might be that one face in the room that somebody can look at and say, they might know exactly what this is like for me. So I don't want you to doubt how important you are. I don't want you to doubt what your presence means, even if you don't share anything. And so that's one thing that I can say to all of you and have it be genuine and true. And that's something I always worry about whenever I share. What can I say that's genuine and true? Because so much of me wants to present the very best, right? Black excellence, right? So much of me always wants to portray that. And I just want you all to know that you're enough, however you are, wherever you are in this program. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Fred. I'm going to say this is a good experience. First, speaking of Black men, I think it's our ego more than ever that we don't want to come in here, because there are some I've seen in here. But I'm going to share it. I hope that y'all take it the wrong way. It seemed to me that I'm involved with the men's group now, and not too many of my colors in there. And for some reason, I do feel close with them for some reason. I don't know why I feel close with them. And they kind of welcome me, you know, with open arms and everything. I don't know if I see a color with them or not, but I had a sponsor one day. I hate to say this. He got involved with that political stuff, and they started saying brown people. That was it for me. I let him go. But slowly. I didn't do it right away, but slowly. You know, he was so much into this guy. I said, you know, I mean, does it make a difference? We here talk about recovery. We're not here talk about politics. You know what I mean? And he kept saying and saying that when he said that brown people, and I'm going to come through the phone and say, you know, don't go there with me. I will show you what color it is about. You know what I mean? But I let him go slowly. I did let him go. I just, you know, he apologized, but it was too late. Damn, it's been done. But now, since I came here, I'm out of fact, stayed with a guy who lives in San Diego and went to the retreat. It was another guy. We both were the same color. He had recovery, and he had good recovery. And I went to that retreat, and I wasn't just me and him there. And I didn't feel nothing, really. I feel like, okay, they welcome me. You know what I mean? That's just for me. That's why I have, because I will pick it up right away, believe me. I'm not that colorblind. I will pick it up real easily, you know. But they welcome me with open arms. I've been here. It's my first time in, you know, I came for other fellowships, too. I'm from New York, originally, but I live in Georgia. And I had other fellowships. And my thing, I'm so afraid that, you know, we need to get in here more often. Our culture, we're dying out there. We're serious. You know what I mean? We're dying out there. Because the stuff that we was raised, I know where our background, we all go back to our grandma used to fix certain things. And I'm not going to speak about food. I'm not going to mention food. But we already know what we grew up with. Half of us already knew. And today, I want to live today. Okay, I can't eat that today. I'm sorry, I can't eat that. I want to live today. Like so he was saying, my friends, they getting their legs cut off, all that. That stuff scares me. And it's in our culture. It's mostly in our culture. We're getting cut, legs getting cut off, people lose their arms, and, you know, it's just scary. And like I said before, my thing today is that I want to live today. Who would I be an example? Like you said, that third step prayer, take away my difficulty, God, so I'd be better serve mankind or anybody, you know, be a, you know, power example, channel. And that's what I'm trying to do today because, like I said before, this is really getting serious out there for us, and we got to realize that, you know. But, you know, we all got to come in different shapes, different sizes, and maybe we had to commit. Like, it took me a while to confess. I've been around this program for the last 20 years, okay? And I'm just starting to really get aggressive of it now. I'm really starting to get a hold to it, you know. That it's always been the fool, Capricorn. It's always been the fool, but been something else between there. Thank you for letting me share.
Hi, Agnes, a recovering compulsive overeater. God, this is the most caller I've seen attending OA since 1992. I am so grateful. You have no idea. I've gone to meetings where I felt different. You know, I just felt different. We have the common denominator of the food and the issues. Some of us more binges than anything else, you know. But the issues I've had is sometimes I am direct, I am loud, I am outspoken. And when it comes to business meetings and stuff, that is seen as different, particularly when I'm the only one in the room who looks this way. My experiences have also been when I've gone beyond the meeting level, you know, it is life, isn't it? It's just a microcosm of the macrocosm, right? Some people just see one way as being, this is what a leader looks like, right? And if you don't have that cognizance that there is a distinction there, if not discrimination, whatever you want to call it, it's painful to me because I understand OA, and I don't want to be judged that way in one more place where I'm supposed to feel safe. In my case, I feel like, God, I wish I was a better ambassador of the program. I wished I looked more like them, you know. I've had a white guy look at me and say, girl, you're thick. I'm like, what does that mean? You know, you kind of a thing, but maybe there is a difference, I don't know. When I go to the World Service, though, again, it's, you know, 1%, whatever you call it, and I look around and we are not represented, right? They talk about diversity, unity, and all those things, and I'm like, I look around the World Service, and I'm going again in April, and I'm like, why are you guys not in Africa? We have a whole continent. So when you have that opportunity, maybe you can talk in a better way than I do and kind of raise the consciousness because it's got to start somewhere. The only countries represented from Africa are South Africa and one other country up north. And I'm like, and language is not even the barrier. We speak English and French in Africa, right? We have people who are suffering and they have the kind of food they should eat. I'm like, if I'm throwing money into this, I would like some kind of inclusiveness that includes Africa because it includes Europe, it includes Israel, it includes people who speak languages, Russian and stuff like that. I'm like, why do we not spend some money and go to Africa? You know, so that's my pet peeve. But if there aren't enough of us from the group level raising that consciousness, they wouldn't have it. And they don't get it. They really don't get it. So wherever we are, you know, I hope that we can spread the message because our sisters and brothers are suffering, you know, as best as we can. So thanks for letting me share.
Hello, I'm Amy, and I'm a compulsive eater. And I'm glad this meeting is here because I also never see... This is the most minority I've ever seen in a 12-step group because most of the time, when I first started, I was the only one. And to give you an idea of how I was brought up, from third grade until I graduated high school, except for sixth grade, I was always the only black person in my class. So that gives you an idea of what I had to deal with. And one of the things I have a hard time with in the program sometimes is, you know, I hear people in the rooms talking about, you know, molestation, their parents were alcoholics, and et cetera. But my main thing was I was eating because every day I was called the N-word. You know, I had my court revoked. Everybody would call me Oreo, la, la, la. And it's not like I can be in a room. It's weird being in a room full of white people saying, this is why I eat. This is why I'm carrying all this extra weight. And now I'm working on my fourth step, and I'm kind of having that issue. It's like, how do you tell this person these things when you feel like they can't relate to it? I mean, at the end of the day, no matter why, the reason why you're eating, it's all hell, you know, regardless of whether you're eating because of what your parents did or whatever, it's all the same thing. But at the same time, it's kind of like you sometimes feel like people can't relate to what that's like, to have somebody throw dirt on you and spit on you and threaten to burn a cross in your yard and all this kind of stuff that I had to deal with. And also having people tell you that, no, you can't have an eating disorder, that's a white girl thing, and you can't have that, and, you know, that's not a black thing, you know. And anyway, one of the things I'm dealing with working in program now, and that I'm working the steps, I'm learning what my definition of being a black woman is, because for years it was like it meant I was on the bottom, I was inferior, I was less than. And truth be told, I always felt that, you know, I would be perfect if I were white. I wouldn't have this disease if I were white. But at the end of the day, as I'm working the steps, I'm discovering I have this. The reason why I'm the way I am is because I'm a compulsive eater. Now, that other stuff didn't help, but anyway, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad y'all are here.
Good afternoon. My name is Leon. I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Simpsonville, South Carolina. And I'm not responsible for anything I'm saying because it is freezing up in here. I mean, I need to get a heater or something. You know, the guy next door was teaching, and at the end of his talk, he said that we have failed the black community. He said we failed the Hispanic community. We've failed the Native American community because we have failed to take that message into these areas. And I sort of agree and I sort of disagree, because to crack this culture or the other cultures, it's not going to be an easy thing. You know, just think about it. We are just coming into accepting mental health. And now you're going to tell me you're going to take my food away? You know, we are just accepting that we can be depressed too, and that we can take, you know, atypical antipsychotics or antidepressants. And now you're telling me I had to put my food down as well. You want to take away who I am? I came in this program. I did not care. I mean, I was desperate. And when I walked in the room, of course, I was the only black person, but I was only black male as well. And I was a lot younger. Everyone was a lot older, and there was a lot of crying and a lot of, I'm like, whatever they have, I don't have. But they really, something they said, it sowed a seed in me that I couldn't, and I still don't remember till this day what they said, but it sparked my curiosity, because nothing could explain why I was doing what I was doing to my body. Nothing. Jesus couldn't. I laid on the couch. I went to my pastor. I went to the altar. I went everywhere trying to seek help for this eating problem that I had. I've lost about 80 pounds over a time frame, and nothing could explain it. And I said, those crying white women had something, you know. let me go to a meeting. And I did. I went to another meeting. I saw another male. And, you know, I was in and out the room still trying to figure out, you know, if I can lick this thing myself. Finally, I said, I need to, because I had tried church, tried diets. I was a very successful dieter. Finally, decided to come back and really give the steps a try. And the first time I ever worked the steps, I got recovered 1 month. I was sponsoring at the end of that month. The weight was just melting off of me. And I was like, wow, you know. And so I've been living in these steps, 10, 11, and 12. And I've heard about this movement that we're trying to do. The best thing that we can do as African Americans is we can recover. You have got to carry this message. You got to live it for them to believe it. And I pass.
Yeah, go ahead, please. You sure? Oh, okay. So my name's Adley, compulsive overeater. So I go to a lot of meetings, several meetings in Oakland, California. And Oakland, California is kind of where I would assume to see a few black people. I know maybe two black women that go. I've never seen a black man in Oakland. I'm a God-fearing man. And what's interesting about the meetings in Oakland is that it's 90% white, female, non-God-fearing, extremely not God-fearing, right? So not only am I going in with the black card, I'm going in with the straight male, fears God, black. I mean, so it's just, gosh, who's going to find a sponsor in this, right? So I just came up here to really just say that is kind of the reality, and I prayed for a sponsor. I prayed for a sponsor, and God met me halfway. My sponsor is Filipino. So, I mean, and he gets it. He gets it. He gets it. So God's got a sense of humor, but I just want to say for anybody that just is in that part of the struggle, especially men as well, because I have a heart for just fellowshipping with men as well. Go to God with it if it just feels like you're the only one, you know. So that worked for me.
It is now time to close this session. I would like to thank those of you who gave service at this session and all of you for attending. After a moment of silence, please join hands as we close with the Serenity Prayer. Thank you all for coming.